Welcome to the Kalamunda Sermoncast. This message was first delivered live at Kalamunda Church of Christ.
I just thought this morning, how great is Sunday? Like, I love Sundays, you know. The first thing we get to do is come to church and sing worship songs together. That's just so good. Like, it just clicked to me. That's really good. I like Sundays. I hope you guys liked it too. Huh. All right. So we've been talking about prayer, okay, because we believe God is going to do something fresh and new in our church, and we want to be ready for it. God is going to do something new, and we're not about to miss out. Well, one of the way to make sure that we are ready as a church to move with God is to have a deeper prayer lives. Prayer life with more conviction, with more honesty. Prayer lives that reflect our relationship with the living God, the all-powerful, all-loving, sovereign, real God. So last week, we explored the question, why should we pray? Today, we'll explore the question, how can I have a deeper prayer life? So can I have the slide? No, thank you. So we're going to be looking at a passage in Matthew chapter 6 from verse 9 to 13. It's the Lord's Prayer. Together, we're going to cover this text deeply. I know as I prepare this message that there are a lot of deep truth in this passage that I believe can transform our prayer lives, can transform it. You apply some of this truth and you will have a deeper prayer life, guaranteed. It is the Lord's Prayer after all. It's how Jesus has taught his disciples to pray. God willing, he will speak to you in a deep way as we look at these scriptures. Okay, so but before that, let me first pray and pray with me. Father, I pray that your spirit can reign in our hearts this morning. Lord, I pray that you may open our eyes and our ears, that we may see you and we may hear you. Father, speak to us this morning, that we may come to know you in a deeper way. Amen. So let's get into it. If you have a Bible, turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, 9 to 13. I know you're looking at the screen saying, what's the point of doing that? I've got it in the screen, but it's good to see in context as well. As I preach, you can look at the context and it's always good. If you don't have a Bible, bring a Bible next week. It's always good to bring a Bible to church. Otherwise, let's have a read of this passage together. Let me read out to you. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So we ever ask Jesus, we go back in century, first century, and we ask Jesus, so Jesus, I've been really thinking lately, I really want a deeper prayer life. Can you teach me how to have a deeper prayer life? This is how Jesus would respond. He would say, that's good. This is then how you should pray. First, we have to acknowledge his name. That's what Jesus taught us to do. You're going to have deeper prayer lives. Our Father in heaven. The plural pronoun, our, in the first word, suggests that spirituality is a community, is a communal act. As opposed to the current trend, Jesus taught that the relationship between us and God isn't something that is private and personal. We are to walk this walk together. The hour in the Lord's Prayer is a reminder that in God and through Jesus, we are brothers and sisters. Now, the address of God as the Father, the second word, is also quite significant. Jesus reminds us that God isn't an impersonal spiritual force like Mother Nature or the sword. God intimately knows us and loves us as a father should love his son. How amazing is it that we can call on God, the creator of the whole universe, the sovereign one who is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, daddy. Blows my mind. The placement in heaven is a confirmation that the one whom we call father or dad is indeed above all. He is above all our worldly problems. No problem is too big for the one who is in heaven. You can count on it. See, some says that either God is all-powerful but not loving, or that he is all-loving but not powerful. Well, this statement, our Father in heaven, is a declaration of who God is. He's an all-loving and all-powerful God. We have to focus on God, point here is that we begin our prayer by acknowledging who God is. We have to focus on God. To bring ourselves to the presence of God is to bring ourselves to realize who God is, true, who God truly is. Until we come to that place where we can stand in awe of God's presence, our prayer will simply, it's either be going to be a man-centered prayer, or it's going to be, we can be waffling, you know, it's words only out of our mouth, but not out of our hearts. The point here is we have got to focus on God. We have got to acknowledge His name. The first thing we do when we come to pray, we have to acknowledge His name. What can we do? What can we actually do to learn how to acknowledge His name? Well, we can look at, one suggestion is to look at the Psalms. We can learn, I believe, from the Psalmist how to come into the presence of God. Take notes, read Psalm 78 this week. Read Psalm 107, 78, 107. Reading this stuff will remind us how to focus on God. We can learn so much from the Psalmist in acknowledging God. Maybe it's a matter of us bring ourselves to come into a quiet place where we can stop and focus on God before we pray. In our personal lives, we may close our doors, put on a CD, or read the Psalms and then pray. Whatever it is, however it is we want to do it, the point is when you come to prayer, the first thing we must do is acknowledge God. Come into God's presence. Remind yourself who God is. To have a deep prayer life, not only must you acknowledge His name, you must also acknowledge His will. Can we have the second slide? Thank you. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed, the first word I underlined there, is a verb, which English teachers should know, is a doing or an action word. Okay. More importantly, it is in a form of an imperative. Imperative means it's a command. You use an imperative to tell somebody to do something. In this case, Jesus is teaching His disciples to ask, to plead, almost to command God to make His name holy. Hallowed is the verb of holy. The Greek word for hallowed there, right there, actually means is agias theto, made holy. It's the verb derived from the root word agiazo, which is holy. It's a verb of holy. It's really just saying, Lord, set your name apart, consecrate it and purify it. Let your name stand out and be lifted high in this crazy world, O Lord. See, Jesus is teaching His disciples, it's kind of mind-blowing, Jesus is teaching His disciples to command God to make His name holy. It's almost like Jesus is teaching us to boss God around, but that's not the case, that is not so. Jesus is simply teaching His disciples to desire God's name to be made holy. It is God's passion, you see, to make His own name holy. In Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 7, God says about Himself, I will make known my holy name among my people Israel. I will no longer let my holy name be profaned, and the nations will know that I, the Lord, am the Holy One in Israel. Again in Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 25, God simply says, I will be zealous for my holy name. Thus, in this prayer, my friends, Jesus is simply teaching His disciples to adopt God's heart and passion. The next two imperatives is no less significant. Both the word el theo, which is come, and genes theto, which is be done, are also imperatives. It's an active command. It's not a subjective. It's not subjective, which is rather passive. May it happen if it happens. It's an active word. It's really saying, come your kingdom, and as your will, come and do it, Lord. Here on earth, in my neighborhood, in my workplace, in my school, in my community, exactly as you wished it to be. And I want to see you work in this world, Lord, and I am ready to do anything to see it come to fruition. The point is, Jesus is commanding us to be active about seeking God's will to be done. We have to be active, not passive. I noticed that such prayers, to say these things, really requires us to be in a place where we are ready to do God's will. In the Old Testament, I noticed that God wouldn't work through Israel. Heck, God wouldn't even come near Israel until Israel is willing to get rid of all her idols. And it's true. Sometimes my heart isn't in line with with God's heart. Thus, when I start praying, I'm unable to pray in deeply at all. I'm just babbling, you know, just dishing out empty words, not just from my mouth, but not from my heart. See, I believe if we are to pray deeply to God, our hearts must be in line with God's. We must be in a place where we're ready to do God's work. So what does it mean for us to be ready to do God's work? What can we do to make ourselves in a place where we can say, yes, Lord, I'm ready to do your work? Maybe it is a matter of us spending more time in acknowledging His name, where we focus on who God is and focus on what God is capable of doing. Maybe we have to dwell in God's presence until we recognize once again that God's plan for our lives is indeed the best way to go. Perhaps we need to do what the Israelites did. We must let go of some of the idols in our life. The point is, in praying this line, we need to be ready to do His work. Only after we acknowledge Him, that is, come in His presence, and we acknowledge His will, that is, ready to do His work, can we move on to lifting up our needs. So can I have the third slide? Thanks, Unwin. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So I think everybody have different needs, but here Jesus has identified three needs fundamental to His followers. Firstly, we're called to ask for our daily needs. The Greek word for daily here is an extremely rare word, okay? You only found it in three places in the whole New Testament. There's nothing like it. Its meaning, however, among other probabilities, have been shown to be daily, necessary for existence of the following day or the future. In teaching this, Jesus is simply really making a point that God cares and provides for His people, even the smallest of things. This is consistent with God's character. If we recall, God faithfully provided Israel with practical needs, food, water, even clothing, as He walked with them towards the promised land. See, God cares for our daily needs. We can lift our daily needs to Him, and He will listen to us. As we walk with Him, He will provide for us. We can count on that. That's God's character. That's God's consistency. That's why Jesus taught us to say, give us today our daily bread. Secondly, we're called to ask for forgiveness. The Greek word aphes, which is forgive, literally mean let go, send away, give up, cut off. So we are to ask God to let go, to send away, to give up, or to cut off our debts to Him. So that we can say, goodbye old sin, goodbye old failure, goodbye past mistakes. And yes, it's true. We can. It doesn't matter what you have done or where you have come from. You can. We can ask God for forgiveness. Jesus died on the cross so that we can be made right with God. If we cry to God, Lord, I have sinned. Please save me. And God says, sorry, you have done too much. You have done too much evil and you have crossed the line. I cannot forgive you. I tell you what, you'll be the first in the entire cosmos by which God would have said that to you. You can ask God for forgiveness. Jesus Himself has taught us to ask God to forgive our debt as we have also forgiven others. The price has been paid. If this is you this morning, I want you to take it to heart. Take the scripture to heart. God wants to speak to you. Don't hold it. Don't carry that burden any longer. God is reaching out for you. You can ask for forgiveness today. Don't wait any longer. Do it today. After the service, do business with God. Let's move on. In praying this, however, we're also reminded that we too must forgive others. It's made very clear in this passage that the forgiveness we receive from God is directly proportional to us forgiving others. That means others' sin, others' failures, others' past mistakes against us. If we can't forgive others, how can God forgive us? I heard people say, God can forgive you, but as for me, I can't. What are we saying here? That we have a higher moral standard than God, like the God of the universe? The point here is that relationship, standing with others, is important to your prayer life. You want to have a deeper prayer life with God? You must be ready to forgive others. Scripture is very clear on that. Finally, we're called to ask for a safe path and deliverance from the evil one. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. As you follow Jesus, you will face many temptations. It may be battle against selfishness. It might be battle against greed. It might be battle against integrity or lust. It doesn't matter. The point is, when tempted, we must pray. Jesus set the model himself. Let me read to you from Matthew. Okay? Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, "Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken away from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. He said, "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" He asked Peter, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." When we're tempted, we must pray. Similarly, Paul encourages Christians to pray when faced with temptations. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, he says this, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way so that you can stand up under it." It's true, you know. When you have acknowledged God, that means you come to a point where you are absolutely in God's presence. You know totally who God is. Have you been in that place in your life where you know exactly that God is with you? The God that have everything around you, he's sovereign over all, he's with you. Okay, you've already acknowledged his name. And then you come to a place where in your soul, you're ready to do his work. Where you can come to a place where you say, "God, you want me to do anything, I'll do it." When you have already come to those two phases, it's very difficult to fall into temptation then. It really is. You're with God. God's like right next to you. It's true. The point is, when you're tempted, pray. Jesus called us to pray when we're tempted. If you're tempted all day long, well, pray all day long. Easy solution. Pray. When tempted, pray. I'll have to call the worship team forward, if that's okay. Guys, I believe that God's going to do something amazing in our church. I really believe it's going to bring us into a new freshness of life in this church. And I believe that for that to happen, we must be ready for it. We don't want to miss out. So, as a church, let us, each one of us, let's make a decision to deepen our prayer lives. Let us pray with more conviction and honesty. Let us have prayer lives that reflect our relationship with the living God, the all-powerful and all-sovereign living God. Let us as a church come into God's presence as we acknowledge his name. Let us as a church be ready to do his work as we acknowledge his will. Let us as a church lift up our needs to him. Let us be a praying church. Amen? Let me pray from the Lord's Prayer. And hopefully let's pray this together in your hearts. Let's mean it with me. Let's pray. Our Father who in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us, Lord, today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead lead us, Lord, not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Thanks for listening to this sermon from Kalamata Church Christ. If you are inspired or challenged by this message, we hope that you will share it with a friend. And hey, let us know too. Find us at kalamatachurchchrist.org.au. Also look for us on Twitter and Facebook.